Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Price of Inequality by economist Joseph E. Stiglitz examines how rising income and wealth gaps reshape modern democracies and weaken long-term prosperity. Written in the aftermath of the financial crisis and amid public debate about the top 1%, the book argues that inequality is not an accidental byproduct of growth, but the predictable outcome of policy choices, market rules, and institutional power. Stiglitz connects everyday concerns such as wages, job security, education, and healthcare to larger forces including deregulation, tax design, and political influence. Rather than treating inequality as only a moral issue, he frames it as an economic problem that can slow innovation, reduce opportunity, and increase instability. The book blends economic reasoning with accessible examples to show how concentrated wealth can tilt markets and governments away from broad-based success. It also outlines practical directions for reform aimed at rebuilding shared prosperity and restoring trust in public institutions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, inequality as a policy-driven economic outcome. A core theme is that inequality is not simply the natural result of differences in talent or effort. Stiglitz emphasizes how laws, regulations, and institutional design determine who has bargaining power, what behaviors are rewarded, and how risks and returns are distributed. He links the widening gap to shifts such as weaker labor protections, changes in corporate governance, financial sector expansion, and tax and spending choices that favor capital over work. The book highlights that markets are not neutral machines. They are structured arenas shaped by rules on competition, disclosure, bankruptcy, intellectual property, and trade. When those rules are influenced by concentrated interests, outcomes can systematically steer income toward the top. This framing matters because it changes the solution set. If inequality is policy made, it can be policy unmade, but only through deliberate choices that rebalance incentives and strengthen fair competition. The discussion also challenges common narratives that celebrate high inequality as proof of dynamism. Instead, Stiglitz argues that a large gap can signal distorted rewards, including rents and advantages created by regulation gaps, market power, and privileged access. In this view, reducing inequality is compatible with, and often necessary for, healthier growth. Secondly, rent-seeking, market power, and the role of the financial sector, the book scrutinizes how rent-seeking can raise top incomes without increasing overall productivity. Stiglitz describes rent-seeking as earning returns through power, privilege, or rule manipulation rather than through creating new value. He pays particular attention to finance, where complex products, opaque risk, and expectations of public support can allow profits to be privatized while losses are socialized. The argument is not that all finance is harmful, but that an oversized or poorly regulated financial sector can drain resources from the real economy, encourage short-termism, and magnify instability. Market power also features prominently, as dominant firms and concentrated industries can influence prices, wages, and entry barriers. When competition weakens, profits can rise while workers and consumers lose out. Stiglitz connects these dynamics to lobbying and regulatory capture, where the entities being regulated shape the rules that govern them. The result is a cycle. Higher rents fund more political influence, which further protects the rents. This topic helps readers understand why headline growth or stock market gains can coexist with stagnant wages and fragile communities. It also clarifies why reforms often focus on transparency, competition policy, financial oversight, and limiting conflicts of interest. Thirdly, the erosion of opportunity and the weakening of the middle class. Stiglitz argues that inequality becomes self-reinforcing when it limits access to the building blocks of mobility. Education, health, stable housing, and early childhood support shape lifetime outcomes, yet these are often distributed unevenly. When families have vastly different resources, children start from very different positions, and the idea of equal opportunity becomes more slogan than reality. The book links this to labor market trends that reduce bargaining power for typical workers, including declining union influence, increased job insecurity, and wage setting that does not keep pace with productivity. A weakened middle class matters not only socially, but economically. Broad-based purchasing power supports demand, entrepreneurship, and a stable investment climate. When income concentrates at the top, consumption can become more dependent on credit and asset bubbles, creating vulnerability. Stiglitz also highlights how unequal societies can underinvest in public goods because high-income groups can purchase private substitutes, reducing shared commitment to public schools, infrastructure, and community institutions. This topic reframes the middle class as an economic engine, not just a political category. By showing the link between opportunity and macroeconomic performance, the book encourages readers to view mobility policies as growth policies. Fourthly, politics, democracy, and the feedback loop of influence. Another important theme is how economic inequality can translate into political inequality. Stiglitz argues that when wealth concentrates, the ability to shape public debate and policy also concentrates through campaign finance, lobbying, think tanks, and media influence. This can shift government priorities toward tax preferences, deregulation, and spending patterns that further benefit the top, even when broad public opinion favors different choices. The book describes this as a feedback loop, where policy outcomes reinforce the underlying distribution of income and wealth. Stiglitz also connects political inequality to reduced trust in institutions and a sense that the rules are rigged, which can polarize societies and make constructive compromise harder. In this environment, reforms that would improve long-term prosperity may be blocked by short-term interest. The discussion is not limited to corruption in the narrow sense, it includes the subtler ways agenda setting works, such as which problems are treated as urgent, what counts as evidence, and which voices are amplified. By tying democratic health to economic structure, Stiglitz suggests that inequality is a systemic risk, not merely a distributional dispute. Readers come away with a clearer view of why technocratic fixes can fail without political safeguards that protect representation and transparency. Lastly, paths to shared prosperity through reform and investment. Stiglitz does not present inequality as inevitable, and he outlines directions for policy that aim to rebuild inclusive growth. While details vary across countries, the book emphasizes a mix of stronger progressive taxation, closing loopholes, and aligning the tax code with productive investment rather than speculation. It supports public investment in education, infrastructure, research, and health, arguing these raise productivity and expand opportunity. Labor market policies also matter, including measures that strengthen worker bargaining power, encourage fair wage growth, and reduce insecurity. On the market side, Stiglitz stresses the importance of robust competition policy and financial regulation that reduces excessive risk-taking and limits rent extraction. He also points to governance reforms that reduce the influence of money in politics and improve accountability. The overall message is practical. Societies can choose rules that reward innovation and work while constraining behaviors that merely transfer wealth upward. This topic helps readers compare frameworks. Instead of debating whether to choose growth or fairness, Stiglitz frames effective reforms as serving both goals by improving the functioning of markets and ensuring that gains are broadly shared. The reform agenda is presented as an investment in social stability, democratic legitimacy, and long-term economic resilience. In conclusion, this book best fits readers who want a rigorous yet readable explanation of why inequality has grown and why it matters beyond fairness. Policy-minded citizens, students of economics and politics, business leaders who think about long-term stability, and anyone concerned with wages, mobility, or democratic trust will find the arguments useful. The benefit is practical clarity. Stiglitz connects daily realities like job insecurity, education costs, and health outcomes to the deeper architecture of rules and incentives. By treating inequality as a macroeconomic and institutional problem, the book helps readers evaluate proposals on taxes, regulation, labor, and public investment with a stronger sense of cause and effect. It can also sharpen media literacy, showing how narratives about merit and markets can obscure rent-seeking and policy choices. Compared to many inequality books that focus mainly on history, data trends, or moral appeals, this one emphasizes mechanisms and accountability, explaining how power shapes markets and how reforms could restore competition and opportunity. That focus makes it worth buying for readers who want more than diagnosis, because it offers a coherent framework for action and a roadmap for thinking about shared prosperity in realistic policy terms. If you would like to support Joseph E. Stiglitz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.